with you. I'm so thankful that Jesus has risen from the dead. And when I think of what he accomplished on our behalf, it's really overwhelming and amazing. On a personal note, I hate the experience of being separated from loved ones in any manner. If people are traveling or, you know, somebody's home, late getting home or something like that, or the taking of a loved one through death, it really just seems so unnatural, against what God would have in mind. And when you think about it, the sense of separation you might have between yourself and another person, really, it's a signal that a greater separation hits our soul, and that's the separation between us and God. Okay, really, the essence of sin is a separation that we walk away from God and go our own way. And everything that Jesus did, both on the cross and rising from the dead, was to bring back again our rebellious soul to God, to be at peace with him, and to give news that you and I get to be with Christ now and forever, and that loved ones with Christ, we're not going to be separate from them like we are in this life. We're going to be united in Christ and in heaven. And so the resurrection, at least for me, hits that real need, felt need, whatever you want to call it, major spiritual irritation, that when there's separation going on, not of God, okay, not of God, and that Christ being risen brings us back to himself, and wouldn't you know it, the 11 were gathered together, and then the believers, and in the book of Luke, at the end of the book of Luke, they're all gathered praising God, they're hanging around the temple, they're being in connection with one another. So Jesus being the life, you know, brings that life, person to person, back to God, and our souls back to God also. So he's the resurrection and the life. One of the ways we can look at Jesus' greatness about him being risen is the differences between him and any other religion or religious leader in the world. Okay, not Caesar is risen, not the Pharisees, they didn't rise from the dead. Not the imaginary God in the sky, okay, man in the sky, but Jesus rose from the dead. No other founder of any religion claimed that they would rise from the dead. Okay, not Muhammad, not Buddha, not anybody in Hinduism, not the atheists or secular guys. They wouldn't say, well, I'm going to rise from the dead. You know, Jesus said that he would rise from the dead and shows his greatness between himself and others. No other founder of any religion claimed to be God. Claimed to be God. Muhammad didn't claim to be God. Buddha didn't claim to be God. Again, nobody in any other faith. But Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. I am now, I always was, and I always will be. Okay, he's taking the name of the Lord from the Old Testament and applying it to himself. He would say, I'm the light of the world. That's something that those other guys didn't say about themselves. He's the first and the last, he said, the beginning and the end. So you take Jesus, I mean, he has no rivals when it comes to, well, who are people going to believe in? You know, believe in the one who claimed to be God. Either he was, or we reject him as he wasn't. And Jesus letting the disciples know ahead of time what would happen. He told his disciples three times in Mark chapter 8, 9, and 10. Just a nice sequence to remember there. Where does Jesus talk about his death and resurrection? Mark chapter 8, 9, and 10. Three times in a row for us there. And so another difference between Jesus and all the other leading religious groups is that nobody in those religious groups, and or you and me even, would think of dying for the sins of the whole world. That would be a totally strange thought for any human being to have. You might say, well, I'll die for my sins. That could be true. Or I'll die for a loved one. You know, if you're in the military, or Paul said somebody would possibly die for a good person. But to die for the sins of the world, that's a thought probably no human being ever had anywhere except for Jesus. He said he would give his life a ransom for many. The Lamb of God who would take away the sin of the world. What a great Savior he is. So we might say that the distance between Jesus and every other religious leader and the distance between Jesus and every other human being is the distance of infinity. Infinity. So give him great praise. Our highest praises go to him. Our most intense praises. If you were going to commit your life to one person, to one truth, wouldn't you want to commit your soul to the one who's King of Kings and Lord of Lords? The Word who became flesh dwelt among us, didn't stay far from us, came near. John said, we saw his glory, the glory of the one and only from the Father, full of grace and truth. And so you and I are privileged to praise him. Now, who did Jesus rise from the dead and immediately make an impact from? I mentioned some at the sunrise service. Here's some others. Jesus is risen for the apostles who said news of Jesus' resurrection seemed to them like nonsense. Okay? Now, these are the ones who are hanging in there, you know. And Peter and John, they're at the tomb, so they see, and maybe John believes, but he's not sure. And the other ones definitely don't believe. And the women came to them, and they say, Jesus is risen. And they said, that seems like nonsense. I put in a plug for the all the women at the sunrise service. You know, the next time some guy doesn't take you seriously or doesn't listen to you, you could say, this is just like when Jesus rose from the dead. The women told the truth, and the guy said, it seems like nonsense, you know. So, be persevering, women. And who were the first witnesses to Jesus' resurrection? And who were the first ones to tell others that he's risen? It was the ladies. So, shout out, what do they say nowadays? Shout out to the ladies, huh? There you go. Leading the way humbly as they normally are there. And, well, occasionally humbly. So that was the apostle. Jesus still rose for the apostles, which goes to show that Jesus doesn't rely on our knowledge of what he did to save us. That's very important. We're big on knowledge here in the West. I like degrees. As many degrees as possible. What do you call it? When you drop out of high school, you get that, try to go back and get that degree, you know. But Jesus doesn't rely on the knowledge of the apostles to come to them. Put it another way, Jesus doesn't rely on you following him to save you, or else you wouldn't get saved. Jesus relies on he reaching out to you to save you. He's the life. So you could be glad he's tracking you down and as the resurrection and the life. So he came to the apostles. Who else is Jesus risen for? Jesus is risen for the apostle Peter. Hero in the Christian life. He denied Jesus three times, of course. But he also preached and saw 3,000 people turn to Christ. And sometime after that, Peter still thought the good news was not for the Gentiles. Jesus was for the Jewish people. And there's dear Peter. Saw Jesus risen. Saw 3,000 converts. I mean, he's full of the Holy Spirit and he's gung-ho. And he says, Jesus is not for you guys. And God had to win him over. So Jesus is risen for those who are still trying to get over perhaps their own selves or their own religious prejudices that Jesus would not fit in too well with the Gentiles. Well, Jesus created the Gentiles and the good news would be sent to them. So he was risen for the apostles, risen for Peter. And of course, Jesus is risen for the apostle Paul. He's a great lover of the Lord, great missionary. The Apostle Paul, who once knew the Bible better than he knew God. He once knew the Bible better than he knew God. And that would be true of all of us. See? Because if you say, well, it's good to know the Bible, truth from the Lord, but we'll never know God as God until we get to heaven, where His Word says, well, we'll see Him as He is. Okay, so even a person who's maybe, say, I know the Bible a lot, doesn't necessarily mean that you know God. You could ask Paul all about that. Okay, God's good Word points us to Himself. And so Jesus He was risen for Paul. And Jesus is risen for Mary Magdalene. Pretty key follower of his. He says Mary had been possessed by 7 demons. That's a pretty rough way to live. And she was the first person to see the risen Lord. That's pretty good. Again, who Jesus picks to change hearts. Maybe he goes to the ones most in need. And for our own lives, all the demons in hell cannot stop Jesus from changing your life. You can ask Mary Magdalene about that. He's great. He rose from the dead for Mary Magdalene. Other people Jesus rose from the dead for and touched immediately. The 2 discouraged believers on the road to Emmaus. They said, we hoped that Jesus was the one who would redeem Israel. And Jesus exclaimed to them what was in the Scriptures about Himself. So you and I can know the Lord just like the guys on the road to Emmaus did. We need the Lord's help. Know Him in His good Word. His Word is truth. Okay, so we say, God, show me my Savior in Your good book. And then a fellow believer, Brennan Manning, he picked out some people of a broken nature who Jesus rose for also. And these were to represent different parts of our walk and who we are in different times. But these are also people that Brennan Manning had met. So you'll catch his intent real soon here. He says, Jesus is risen for disciples who don't measure up to God's holy word. For disciples who are inconsistent and shaky. And that's all of us. Okay. I mentioned at the sunrise service, the early church did not have it all together. And sometimes we say, well, we want to be like the early church, you know, because that's the ones who were really pure and great. And when we take our rose-colored glasses off and look, they probably had every sin that you and I have. And the greatness of the early church was the Savior who they trusted in. It wasn't in their purity. They struggled. They had to meet together to figure out what to do, what not to do, and so forth. So Jesus has risen for disciples who don't measure up to God's holy word. So there's hope for you and me. Jesus has risen for the fearful who don't know how to love and don't know how to be loved unconditionally by the Lord. It's a broken part of the human soul. Not sure how to love God or others. That's why Jesus said the most important commandments, you know, He could change our life to love God, love people. And so if you're fearful and you say, well, I don't feel like a lover of God or people, Christ can bring a change to that. He's risen. Jesus dies for the person with a terminal illness who prays with faith, 100% faith, that they will get better. But they die 2 months later. Jesus is risen for that person. And looking to heaven, we would have to say, that's the majority of people that you and I know. The majority of people that you and I know, even when they have 100% faith in Christ, they die of that terminal illness. Okay, but Jesus is still the resurrection for them. Because this life is not all there is. So we're glad for His power over death. And Jesus is risen for those who are huffing and puffing, trying to impress God or others or themselves. That's just a caution against trying to run our own lives, to try to keep up with the spiritual Joneses, as it were. We know the phrase, I'm keeping up with the Joneses, you know. They have a good lawn. I'm getting a good lawn. Especially they'll be mad if my lawn gets onto their lawn or something like that. Sometimes we want to keep up with the spiritual Joneses spiritually. You know, what's hot and what's not. I want to be with the hot, not with the not. But he's risen for those huffing and puffing, trying to impress God or others or themselves. Some other groups Jesus has risen for. Jesus has risen for the man who became an alcoholic and got divorced after he got saved. This is a message, that, again, that his goodness, grace, and the ability to change a life is for the long haul, not for even serious failings of a son or daughter of his. And so he's risen. He can breathe life back into that broken one. And two others I mentioned at sunrise. Jesus is risen for those who feel like their lives are a big disappointment to God. And by contrast, if you could picture this great picture, Jesus is risen for the plumber who looks at Niagara Falls and says, I think I could fix this. Okay? Way too much confidence. Good picture of humanity, you know. Humanity looks at death. We could fix that. Give us a few more pharmacies, a little bit more research, a little bit more vitamins, and, you know, I'm going to live to 120, I tell you. There's one dear Christian brother who I really like, and you'll hear him sooner or later talk about it. He says, give him the benefit of the doubt, he loves the Lord, but he says, if you believe in Jesus strong enough, you won't grow old. You'll just keep being, you know, you'll look like you're 17, and you'll feel like you're 17, even when you're 90 and 100. This is the way, it's just fantastic. Well, he loves the Lord, but I think he forgot that there's a, you know, there's a river to be crossed before we do that. So we cannot fix ourselves. And the risen Lord, again, who he appeared to, probably without exception, they were broken, defeated people who said, our leader's dead. What are we going to do now? And here he comes, given life and life forever with him. And to close, which I had mentioned on the Good Friday, just this way to honor God. The resurrection of Jesus shows, in the words of great Bible teacher, Dr. Warfield, that salvation is 100% of God. When Jesus comes out of that tomb, 100% of God. And you take all the religions of the world and you have salvation is 100% of man. What we do, what we avoid doing, and on we go. But in the Bible, salvation, 100% of God. Because it's God who plans it. It's God the Son who was born in Bethlehem. It's God the Son who was crucified. It's God the Son who was risen. It's God the Son and the Father who sent His Spirit. And it's God the Son who's coming again. And we say thank you that salvation is of God. From Alpha to Omega, from beginning to end, might glory be to Jesus and His name be praised. He lives, all glory to His name. He lives, my Savior, still the same. What joy the blessed assurance gives. I know that my Redeemer lives. Might that be the theme of your life. And let's pray together. Lord, thank you for each dear person here that you created us to know you and trust you and follow you. And we'd count ourselves as one of the ones you rose from the dead for. As a songwriter said, you didn't want to experience eternity without us coming, and you would gather us around yourself like a loved one would their loved ones. And so might the great truth that Jesus is risen and who you are, Lord, be known in every a heart here, the hearts of our loved ones, and people you send us to. If any here, Lord, would not know Christ, they could simply, with openness of heart and sincerity, say, like Paul said, confess Jesus is my Lord, and I believe he's risen from the dead, and you will have peace given to them. They will be saved. And so might your truth continue to change our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.